From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Illinois has seen a lot of severe weather in the past couple of months. At the tail end of March, there was a statewide storm that spawned several tornadoes, damaging communities in different parts of the state. About 2 weeks ago in the Quad Cities, the Mississippi River began to rise on account of snowmelt from Minnesota and Wisconsin. Water levels quickly reached near record levels and are what the authorities classify as major flooding. And just Monday, central Illinois experienced a dust storm. It blinded motorists on Interstate 55, leading to a crash involving 72 vehicles. From that, there were dozens of hospitalizations and 7 people died. A similar dust storm came up again on Tuesday, but this time authorities closed the interstate before anyone got hurt. Joining us now to help us understand these events is Andrew Pritchard, meteorologist for Illinois Public Media, our home station. He's also a storm chaser and photographer. Andrew, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Matthew Wilson, senior service hydrologist with the National Weather Service Quad Cities. Matthew, thank you for being here as well.
Again, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I want to begin with the dust storm. Andrew, how does a dust storm form in central Illinois? This is something that I think a lot of us think of as, you know, coming out of the Dust Bowl and the Grapes of Wrath.
Definitely. When we think dust storm, it's easiest to think the Dust Bowl. It's easy to think the high plains of Texas or western Kansas or something like that. But getting these areas of blowing dust is not all that uncommon here across parts of central Illinois, especially this time of year. If you kind of think about it, you know, it's been dry over the last 2-3 weeks. We've seen only very light rainfall events. We've seen some warm temperatures. So that warm and dry weather has really been exciting for farmers. They've been able to get out there, start preparing those fields, tilling them, and in some cases planting. We've already got some of the corn crops beginning to emerge here across parts of central Illinois. So when you kind of put these things together, and then you bring in a typical springtime storm system, and when I'm saying that, I mean an area of low pressure, not even an area of thunderstorms. We're just talking about a springtime area of low pressure coming through with those, you know, blustery gradient winds is what we call them, the strong winds that are kind of feeding into and circulating around that area of low pressure. So a lot of these really come up on what's typically a breezy spring day. And so we get that breezy spring weather and it kicks up the dust on these, you know, dry fields that have been, you know, kind of turned over and worked over. So it's not all that uncommon to see this. And we actually saw it just a couple weeks prior right here in Champaign County where I'm sitting here. I documented some very thick dust that was blowing kind of between Mahomet and Gibson City near Highway 47 on April 19th. And this was the exact same setup, a couple of weeks of dry weather. The farmers were able to get out there and kind of start tilling the fields. And then without any additional rainfall, we get a really windy day. The winds come in, they sweep over the top of these fields, and they kick up some of that dust. Now, when this happened 2 weeks ago in Champaign County, it was over rural areas. This dust was blowing over these, you know, small farm-to-market roads, so it wasn't news-making. We didn't have big accidents coming out of this, and that's what was different about Mondays. It was the same setup, a localized area of blowing dust, but this dust was blowing over a high-traffic interstate. And unfortunately, you know, one or two accidents happen there. And then once that starts to occur, we start to see that chain reaction where additional accidents then occur further downstream.
Yeah, it was really a horrifying sight. If I saw some drone footage taken by another news outlet of just the sort of blackened pavement, I guess, from the fires of all these vehicles crashing into each other. You know, you say this is not uncommon, but there is a sort of, not to overuse that metaphor, but a perfect storm confluence of events that have to be present. You mentioned the dry weather, and I don't ever remember seeing a blowing dust warning from the National Weather Service here. Is that unusual? Does that just have to do with the fact that this one was centered around an interstate or what?
I think you're right on it there. This was, I believe, the first dust storm warning that has been issued by the Lincoln National Weather Service office here in central Illinois. And certainly this was a high-end event, both with, you know, the very dense nature of the blowing dust and then with it being kind of co-located over an area of high traffic. And I think that once the accident started there, we started hearing about some of the chaos that was unfolding there. I think it was a good idea to hit the button there and issue that dust storm warning. And we saw that happen again on Tuesday. So Again, it was really a perfect storm. And, you know, I say it's not all that uncommon, but, you know, it's not every spring that we see these extended periods of warm and dry air followed by, you know, storm systems coming through with these gusty winds. So some springs we see it more often than others. But I think that this was a good example here again where this was occurring over, you know, a very localized high traffic area. And then when you also kind of consider that this was not at all in the weather forecast, this sort of high impact localized event, you know, the forecast on Monday was for a sunny, mild and breezy spring day. And if you can kind of imagine that you're a driver that would have been driving north or south, you know, down Interstate 55, just south of Springfield that day, much of your drive would have been exactly that. Pristine driving conditions, it's sunny, you know, you've got a bit of a breeze that's maybe, you know, buffeting your vehicle as you're driving down the road. But these drivers would have then come up on, you know, a browning of the horizon. And then suddenly, as they entered this cloud, their visibility went down to nothing. It would, you know, turn almost as dark as night in some cases here with some of the more extreme examples. But this was, again, not in the forecast. And it was not something that was happening across the entirety of Interstate 55. Again, we're talking about a 20 to 30 mile chunk that was shut down because of this blowing dust. And that is certainly significant. But again, these drivers that were either coming from St. Louis or Springfield, a lot of their drive, there was absolutely no warning that something like this would be coming. So it would certainly be nice to be able to maybe push some sort of alert to these drivers here and let them know that, hey, we have rapidly changing weather conditions just ahead up the road. Consider an alternate route, but certainly, you know, be aware that this is coming.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought of that because I've taken that route many times, and it seemed like a perfectly beautiful day until you're suddenly in this horror zone. You know, talk about, and also new to me with this blowing dust warning were the instructions about what a motorist should do. Maybe if you live, you know, we all know with tornadoes, get in the basement, lie in a ditch if you're outside, etc. But blowing dust warnings, maybe if you live in Texas or the plains, you're familiar with what to do. I was not. Can you go over what a motorist in particular should do if you are on the highway and you do have time to react?
Certainly. And this goes for just about any sort of reduction of visibility as you're driving, whether it's a dust storm or, you know, a snow squall in the wintertime where you rapidly experience visibility loss due to heavy snowfall, or maybe it's a thunderstorm, a summertime thunderstorm with torrential rains, and you enter that storm and you can't see. You know, if you can't see where you're driving, pull the car over to the side of the road and wait for the weather conditions to improve. And unfortunately, you know, in a situation with this dust storm where the dust cloud is not moving, it's just kind of focused on this area. You know, unfortunately, maybe that means that you're waiting for a while. But if you can't see where you're going, you've got to pull over to the side here. And, you know, there's a multiple reasons for that. Of course, you can't see if you're coming up on a hazard. That was what was occurring here on Interstate 55. You know, I don't know what the first accident or a couple of accidents looked like there. But then you can imagine cars were still traveling 60 to 70 miles per hour down the interstate here. And when you're going through zero visibility, you've got only a fraction of a second then to react if you come up on some cars that are stopped in the middle of the road. And then the other reason you want to be sure that, you know, if you're going to stop, you want to pull over to the side of the road is consider everyone who's behind you. They can't see you either. So, you know, it really makes me uncomfortable when I come to a stop on the interstate for one reason or another, because I'm always worried about what's coming behind me. So the best thing you can do for whatever reason it may be, if the weather is causing a reduction in visibility, you've got to slow down. And you need to pull off to the side of the road and wait for those weather conditions to improve.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. The Weather Service also said, be sure to turn off your lights and take your foot off the brake. Put the car in park, take the foot off the brake. So I guess the brake lights are not illuminated. Interesting.
Sure. Yeah, some of these lights in lower visibility lower visibility situations, it seems kind of counterintuitive. You might think you want the bright lights on there, but those lights reflecting off all the particulates, whether it's dust or, you know, rainfall or precipitation, some kind of liquid that's creating the lower visibility, it can actually kind of reflect that and make it harder to see for yourself and for others who might be coming up behind you.
All right, we're going to pivot now, and thank you, Andrew Pritchard, so much for talking through the dust storm with us. And I should remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about two recent severe, or at least significant weather phenomenon, the dust storm that resulted in a crash of 72 vehicles in central Illinois. And now we're going to turn to flooding in the Quad Cities. The Mississippi River had been rising for a couple of weeks. Water levels reached near record levels. I believe it crested on Monday. And we have Matthew Wilson, who's a senior service hydrologist with the National Weather Service Quad Cities, with us. So let's talk about the situation. Are we expecting waters to continue to decline there? When do we expect things to be back to normal, whatever that is for spring?
Yeah, so we do expect, we're in our recession now. We have crested at the Quad Cities, and in most of our areas, all the way down to about Burlington, Iowa, we've crested. We expect that recession to continue from now until we get below that minor flood stage. And what will really determine how quickly it goes will be any additional rainfall that we have on top of that recession limb. That can just add more water to the already elevated Mississippi and keep it up above flood stage longer. However, we are looking at a fairly dry next week, and our outlook for precipitation moving into even the middle of May is on the drier side. So we should have a pretty good chance to get a lot of that water down the Mississippi and heading down towards St. Louis and out of our area before we get too much significant rainfall. So best case scenario, we should have most of our area back down below flood stage by the end of May.
The Quad Cities is certainly no stranger to flooding. Anyone who lives along a river has to expect that. But what was unique about this year? Were there some different factors? Because it doesn't happen every year that the river reaches these levels.
Yeah, it doesn't happen every year. The last major flood was 2019. That actually was the flood that set the record here at the Quad Cities at 22.7 feet at the Rock Island gauge. What was really unique about this year compared to all other flood years that we have decent records for is that this flood was 95% snow melt driven, meaning we didn't add very much additional precipitation on top of it, and we didn't have a lot of extra water coming in from our local rivers and tributaries into the Mississippi in this area. This was all generated by a very large snowpack north of us in Minnesota and Wisconsin, where we had areas that had 6 to 10 or more inches of snow water equivalent covering the ground. And when I say snow water equivalent, I mean if you take that snowpack and you take a sample all the way from the surface of the snow down to the ground and you melt that out, that's how much water you have there. So it functions like a standing pool of water that is just waiting to hit that melting temperature. And at the beginning of April, that snowpack was intact, which is late in the season for us. And unfortunately, what happened is that a week later, the Twin Cities up in Minnesota hit the mid-70s, and Duluth even got into the high 60s. And that snowpack was sandwiched in between those high temperatures. And in about 96 hours, we went from 10 plus inches of snow water equivalent to bare ground. And that water quickly made its way into the streams up north and started making its way downstream.
Are you expecting flooding downriver? I mean, should communities farther south in Illinois, St. Louis, Caro, be anticipating rising waters in the weeks ahead?
They should anticipate that the Mississippi main stem will rise in their area. However, they aren't expecting to get significant floods down that area and down in that reach of Illinois. And that's mostly due to that, again, we didn't have any additional precipitation or contributions from our tributaries. And as you get that further south on the Mississippi broadens. So it has a lot more capacity down there to handle these floodwaters from the snowmelt flood that we're sending south.
So you mentioned the last one of these big floods was in 2019. That was a record. It's only 4 years later now. Is this something I always want to think about in these conversations? Should we be expecting more flooding like this, more annual flooding, as we are heading into a warming future in our planet?
It certainly seems that way. So some of our top five flood events have happened since the flood of 93. We had a flood, a major flood in 93, one in 2001, one in 2008, and then 2019. And now this this year will go down as a top 10 flood in a lot of areas here in northwestern Illinois. So we it really is, we should be preparing for this. Some of what we're seeing is that as the climate has warmed some, we are getting more precipitable water in our and when we get moisture coming up from the Gulf. And that's just basically, that's the amount of water that is able to be precipitated out of any atmospheric conditions. And so those numbers have been rising more over the last decade or so, which just means that we've been getting more rain in the wintertime that translates to more snow. So occurrences like this are just going to be more common in the future.
All right, Matthew Wilson, Senior Service Hydrologist with the National Weather Service Quad Cities. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Hey, my pleasure.
Also, thanks again to Andrew Pritchard, WILL meteorologist, also a storm chaser and photographer. You can find his work on Twitter at SkyDrama. Thank you, Andrew, as well for being with us. More to come here on the 21st Show after a short break. We're going to be talking about the history of a racist mascot, racist high school mascot in Pekin, Illinois. It was recently the subject of a viral video. We'll talk with a local historian and the creator of that video coming up after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.